This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. These days, Attorney General John Ashcroft spends most of his time dealing with anti-terrorist legislation. But recently, he took aim at something completely different, the Oregon law permitting doctor-assisted suicide for dying patients. Ashcroft warned doctors that if they prescribe drugs in lethal doses, they could lose their licenses to prescribe or dispense any drug. The order would effectively cripple the nation's only assisted suicide law, which has been used by 70 people in the past 3 years. Ashcroft's move has raised questions not just about the practice of assisted suicide, but also about states' rights, as NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports.
John Ashcroft considers himself staunchly pro-life, and like many pro-life advocates, is opposed to a government-sanctioned assisted suicide law. But at the same time, Ashcroft has been a strong supporter of states' rights. These two principles collide in his decision on assisted suicide. Citing a recent Supreme Court ruling involving medical marijuana, the Attorney General contends that federal drug law can trump the Oregon assisted suicide statute that was twice approved by voters. Many Oregonians, including University of Oregon law professor Garrett Epps, are furious.
You know, I'm from Oregon, and Ken Kesey wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in Oregon, and I call Ashcroft Big Nurse, Nurse Ratched. He wants to stand by your bedside and make sure that you're not taking more medication than he thinks really would be good for you.
Even some people who voted against the assisted suicide law are outraged by the federal decision. They don't think the Attorney General, especially one who professes to be an advocate of states' rights, should tell dying patients what they can and cannot do. Kristen Granger of the State Attorney General's office says that while Ashcroft would like the states to make decisions about abortion, he wants the federal government to make them when it comes to assisted suicide.
That is an interesting little bit of hypocrisy. It seems to be on an issue-by-issue basis that he is asserting states have rights here, states don't have rights here, depending on what his political views of the issue are.
But Terry Jeffrey, editor of the conservative weekly Human Events, says Ashcroft is on solid ground, both constitutionally and morally.
If people were lynching blacks in Arkansas, it would be the job of the federal government under the 14th Amendment to go in and make sure that Arkansas enforced the law to protect that person's life. The same principle is at stake here. Oregon has sanctioned the taking of life by physicians. It is the job of the federal government to go in and protect the life of the person whose life is being taken, even if that person wants to commit suicide.
The state of Oregon has challenged the Attorney General's order in court, and for now at least, the so-called Death with Dignity Act remains in effect. The Attorney General's office declined our request for an interview, citing the pending litigation, but Ashcroft's position is laid out in legal documents. He argues that the Supreme Court's recent interpretation of a 1970 drug law adopted as part of the war on drugs gives the federal government supremacy over Oregon's law, which involves the use of drugs. Clark Forsyth of Americans United for Life agrees.
It's been established for 200 years throughout our constitutional history that federal law is supreme. And in fact, the Supreme Court just reaffirmed that this year in a case involving the Oakland Cannabis Buyers Cooperative.
But Harvard Law professor Charles Fried points out that the marijuana case dealt with illegal drugs. The Oregon law deals with medicine legally prescribed by doctors. Fried, a noted conservative scholar, is normally a friend of the administration. In fact, he served on the president's transition team. But on this issue, he says, the attorney general is wrong. Conservatives, Fried says, are supposed to be committed to a couple of principles. First, that the federal government should not intrude into areas where there is no clear congressional authority.
The other principle is supposed to be that you don't stretch a congressional statute into completely unexpected shape. Well, this decision violates both of those principles.
Fried notes that the only time the U.S. Supreme Court took up the issue of assisted suicide, 5 members expressed the view that states should be able to consider legalizing the practice. What's more, he says, Ashcroft's challenge to the Oregon law undermines public trust at a time when he's trying to get extraordinary powers to deal with terrorism.
This action, which is totally beside the point, totally irrelevant, is just a divisive thing that causes people to wonder about his judgment and discretion at a time when he should be creating confidence.
One source close to the administration suggests that Ashcroft challenged assisted suicide when he did because, terrorism notwithstanding, he was determined to move forward on his agenda. Others have suggested that the Bush administration wanted to shore up its credibility with social conservatives. One thing is certain, though, the thorny questions of federal power and states' rights, as they relate to Oregon's assisted suicide law, may well end up before the U.S. Supreme Court. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.